And let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 10. Come to this 10th chapter of Luke. It's a busy chapter. There's a whole lot going on. We have our Lord in the first part of that chapter, sending out by two the 70 and telling them to go forth and giving them clear instruction on what they're to do, telling them that there will be possible dangers, but they are to go forth and just have magnificent power and authority over the demonic world. And these go out, and they come back, and they are just excited about what they were able to do. And they share this excitement, and it's just amazing how joyful these people are, and I'm sure how joyful the Lord is as well. Then he shares an account of one who was traveling and fell among thieves, and how he was taken and beaten and left for dead, and how some people came by. Some people in the religious world of that day would have been dignitaries, important people, people that you would feel you could have confidence in or comfort with, and how they came by and they didn't bother to do anything to help this poor fellow. Finally, along comes a man who had this fellow along the road realized who he was and had his good sense, may have not wanted this guy's help. But this fellow came along the way and got off and mended the wounds of this man, took him into a place where he could be lodged to recover, paid in advance for his stay there, and told the one that was watching over him, "When I come back, if I owe you more, I'll pay you then." And we see this situation, there's just a lot happening. People are busy. Life's going on. People are doing the Lord's work. People are seeing God use them. People are coming back excited about what God's doing in their lives. The real world's taking place also, where this lawyer and this Samaritan, and life happens. And in a time like that, we can easily get preoccupied with what we're doing and get real, real busy in serving the Lord. After all, the Lord needs us to serve him. And if we don't serve him, who will? So we can get busy serving the Lord, doing what he's called us to do, being what he's called us to be. But we come to the last part of this chapter that I want to look at this afternoon. And the first thing I want us to see is the setting of these verses, verse 38 to 42. The setting is at Lazarus' house and Lazarus' sisters. Now, this event followed Lazarus' resurrection. To have that account, let's go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So we see here's the setting. Life's happening. Events are taking place. A lot's going on. Our Lord comes to this house where he has known that he could be a welcome guest. He's come there. They're arranging a meal for him. And we have two sisters, one doing one thing, one doing another. So we go back to Luke chapter 10. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" In serving the Lord, we can get real busy. Activities, demands, things we place on ourselves that we feel we must accomplish, things we feel we need to be doing. We need to be doing, doing, doing for the Lord. And serving, because after all, we are servants of the Lord. And we should be servants, and we should serve. But in the midst of our serving, we can come to point two, cares and troubles about many things. It would be nice if our service was always rewarded with positive results. It would be nice if, as we serve, we never had any complications. It would be nice, as we serve, if we never ran into any bumps in the road. Our plans went exactly the way we had planned them. Everything fell right into place the way it was supposed to, or at least the way we thought it was supposed to. And life was just one big happy moment after another. Because after all, we're serving the Lord. We're busy, involved in His work. Therefore, we can expect everything to go wonderfully. You see, that's not the way it is, and you know it's not, and I know it's not. There's always going to be some issue come up. There can be a change of scheduling. There can be a car breakdown. There can be a child gets sick. There can be a person that we were going to minister to or minister with is not available. There can be miscommunication. There can be misunderstanding. There can be all kinds of things that happen that can interrupt or disrupt or even bring to a halt our temporary service to the Lord. These cares and troubles, first of all, keep us busy doing things. Because if everything's going wonderfully, then we're busy serving the Lord. If things are not going well, we're busy trying to figure out a solution to the problem. So cares and troubles about many things can keep us busy doing things. Secondly, they can keep us from seeing our real need. Third, they cause us to worry and to fret about life's demands. And fourth, they cause us to lose our nearness to the Lord. Let's look back at this verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving. What does that word cumbered about mean, or that phrase? Busy, distracted, loaded down, weighted down, much on the agenda, and how in the world am I ever going to get the agenda done? Overwhelmed. Martha was all of these things, and it was about much serving. She had a house full of people that she's fixing food for. Good thing, nothing wrong, nothing sinful in what she's doing. She's busy, cumbered about much serving, and she's looking around at what she sees she thinks she needs to get done, and the way she thinks it needs to get done. I mean, she has set the menu, she has set the demand on herself, and she feels that she wants to be a good hostess, she wants to serve well, she wants it to turn out well, she wants the meal to go well, she wants the people to get their fill of food, and be content when they are and be happy with the whole experience. But she's not happy. She's serving. She's busy, 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 busy serving. But she's not happy because she's weighted down by what the demand is. And most of this demand she has placed on herself. I'm not faulting her for that. Because as I said, her serving and dealing with this and inviting Jesus into her house is a very noble thing. But it doesn't have to be just preparing a meal. It can be something else. Could be all kinds of things that we do to serve the Lord or feel that we have to do to serve the Lord or to serve others. And she's cumbered about, much serving. Now she knows the Lord's there, and knowing Him for who He is, she knows He's God. She knows He's the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows He's the promised Messiah. She's put her faith and trust in Him. So she, knowing who He is, believes that He will understand her dilemma. So she comes to Him and she says to Him, "My sister here sitting at your feet, I'm in there in the kitchen working my head off. Doesn't that bother you? Don't you think my sister ought to be in there helping me out so that we can get this meal ready and get it ready to serve and prepare?" You see, this has caused her to miss the real need. This has caused her to worry and fret about life's demands that she's placed on herself. This has caused her to lose her nearness to the Lord because the way she comes to Him and addresses the situation, it's not in such a sweet, loving, submissive tone. "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Lord, doesn't it bother You that my sister's sitting in here at Your feet, putting this precious oil on Your feet and wiping Your feet with her hair, when she ought to be in there serving and helping prepare this delicious smelling food? Doesn't that bother You, Lord? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, tell her to get up and get busy doing what I'm doing. I'm serving, and she needs to be serving. She's not serving. I'm not sure what she's doing. She paid a lot of money for that oil, and she's wiping Your feet with her hair. I'm not sure what she's doing. It's a little strange to me, but tell her to get up and come in there and help me out. I need some help." You see, it caused her to lose her nearness to the Lord. One under D. Martha's busy working hard and becoming more frustrated with her sister. Mary is calmly sitting at Jesus' feet and deeply involved in worship. Often we think we know what worship is, but many times we don't have a clue. Often we give what we think is worship to our Lord, but in reality, it's just another form of service. You see, cares and troubles about many things can cost us internal peace and fellowship with the Lord. Martha doesn't have it. Mary has plenty of it. So we see the setting, we see the cares and the troubles about many things. And third, one thing's needful. Our Lord looks at Martha, and I'm sure he has deep compassion, deep concern for what's going on in her mind and where her heart is and where her spirit is right now. I'm sure he understands her frustration, maybe even feels a bit concerned because he's the center of that. Our Lord never wants to be the center of our frustration. We can't use him to be the center of our frustration. He ought to be the center of our peace. My peace I give unto you, he said, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Our Lord never wants to be the center of our unrest. And sometimes we get so busy serving him that we get restless. And our Lord looks at Martha, and he said to her, Martha, Martha. He speaks her name twice. It's a phrase of compassion. Martha, Martha. Maybe even shaking his head a little bit. Not in frustration with her, but just this deep moving compassion for her. Because in her service, she's lost her focus. And our Lord says, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious. The word careful here, used when the King James was translated, was a word they understood. But that's not what we understand it to mean today. The word is anxious. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Anxious and troubled. Exactly what Jesus said, if we come to him, he will take away. You are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary, and it's not service. We think it's service because we have to serve the Lord. If we don't serve the Lord, the job won't get done. Well, I tell you what, my sovereign God's going to get the job done with or without me because he's sovereign. And he will get it accomplished whether anybody serves him or not. Our Lord says, if people will not give me worship, the rocks and the mountains will cry out in worship. And if the rocks and the mountains can cry out in worship, I imagine God can make the rocks and the mountains serve also. Martha, one thing is needful. One thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen that one thing. And that one thing which she has chosen, nobody can take from her. One thing's needful. What do we need? We need to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he has to tell us. And when we do, it causes us to see our real needs. Martha thinks she needs help in the kitchen. Jesus knows that she needs fellowship with him. He doesn't need her cooking a meal. He can speak it into existence, and it will taste far better than anything she ever could cook, if that's what he wants to do. Sometimes we think, if I don't get out and serve the Lord, people aren't going to get saved. People are going to get saved, period, because salvation is God's gift that God gives to people, and God will use whatever necessary method or person that he needs to get people saved. So if I'm so busy out witnessing to people and telling them about Jesus that I haven't had time to fulfill this one needful thing, then my service is in vain. One thing I have to remind myself as a pastor is that God doesn't need me here at Bible Baptist Church. Bible Baptist Church, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyhow. Bible Baptist Church doesn't need me. Bible Baptist Church needs God. And my job is not to come in here and tell you how important I am to this church. or to tell you how much you need me. My job is to come in here and tell you how important God is to this church and how much we need God. Because if we don't have God, we don't have anything. One thing's needful, and it'll cause us, when we sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he has to tell us, it'll cause us to see our real needs. Secondly, it'll cause our worries and fretting to be put into proper perspective. Now, this didn't happen as we see it in Scripture, but let's suppose that Jesus had looked at her and said, "Now, Martha, let me ask you a question here. Who am I?" And she says, "Well, you're God. You're the Son of God." Okay, if that be the case, Martha, do you think, since I was able to turn water into wine, do you think that I could fix a full course meal without ever entering into the kitchen? Well, of course you could, Lord. Then why are you in there working so hard when you could be out here fellowshipping with me? It'll help us to put our worries and our fretting in their proper perspective. 3, our Lord says, Martha, Mary has chosen, verse 42, that good part. The word good is admirable as God defines the word. God says it's good. Years ago, quite a few years back, we had it ingrained into us, and I had it ingrained into me when I was studying for the ministry. You have to win souls. You have to win souls. If you don't win souls, you're not doing your job. And I had that ingrained into me. You have to win souls. So I went to Nebraska planning on winning souls. I knocked on hundreds and hundreds of doors, literally, and not one soul got saved. Now, do you think I felt like a failure? Because I had been told you need to win souls. That was the emphasis. Serving, serving, serving. The emphasis was not set at Jesus' feet and let him lead you to the souls that he wants you to win. It was you've got to win souls. And we need to be soul winners. We need to be busy sharing the gospel. It doesn't hurt any of us to give out a gospel tract. It doesn't hurt any of us to talk to someone as God opens the door for us to do so. And we need to be aware of that and ready to do that as he allows. But that is not the sole emphasis of us as believers. Martha's serving. Mary is worshiping. God says Mary has chosen that good part, that which is admirable by God's definition. It's agreeing with God and his thoughts on matters of life as we deal with it. It's looking at life and saying, okay, Lord, show me what I need to do about this. I feel this is something that I should do or I ought to do. Show me what I ought to do or should I do it. I feel like I ought to be over here doing this or over there doing that. Show me, Lord, what it is that you want me. Should I go both ways? Should I go neither way? Show me, Lord. I'm listening to you. I want you to show me what it is that you want me to do. I'm listening to you, Lord. I'm listening so that you might speak. And so we find here that Jesus says, Martha, you wanted to come serve in the kitchen. I say her sitting here at my feet is the good thing. She has chosen the good part, which means, Martha, you have not chosen the good part. One thing needful, 4, causes us to focus on Christ and not the world. If I'm sitting at Jesus' feet, that means I'm real close to him. And if he's speaking, I'm hearing him. I can feel his presence. I can hear him speak to me. I can quickly and easily converse with him. We can carry on conversation together. I can sit there in admiration and look at who he is and admire him for who he is. I can recognize how privileged I am to even be able to sit at his feet. That of all the people in the world, he has chosen me to be one of those to sit at his feet. He's chosen me to be one of those to enter into heaven, to be in his presence forever. And I can enjoy that and find great satisfaction in that, great security in that, great happiness in that. And it helps me to take my focus off of the world and begin to see even more and more what Jesus is and who he is and what he has done for me. Now my focus goes from what I can do for him to what he has done for me. That's where the joy comes from. Because see, I see what he has done for me, and it moves my heart to want to do something for him. So now I'm not just serving as a robot because I was trained to serve. I'm serving because I love my master and I want to serve him. I want to please him. I want to do what he wants me to do. Mary is doing what Jesus wants her to do. Martha is not. She's busy, 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 busy. Now, serving and listening and focusing on Jesus may cost us, point five, but we will willingly pay the price because of the joy we find in Christ. This ointment that Mary poured on his feet was very expensive. Well, I mean, it just upset one member of the 12 so badly that he rebuked her. He rebuked her for wasting that oil. Could this oil not have been sold and the money given to the poor? Well, it was going to go somewhere else. But we find here, sometimes when we choose to do this one thing, there'll be people that won't understand. Why aren't you out there serving? Why aren't you out there busy? Now, I'm not suggesting by any means that we just sit at Jesus' feet all the time and don't do anything. But what I am suggesting that maybe we need to do less and spend more time at his feet. Because he said that's one thing that's needful. And then point B, sitting at Jesus' feet is a matter of choice. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, the word chosen means to pick out for oneself, to choose because that's one's preference. So some people are more comfortable in serving. Some people are more comfortable in worshiping. But as believers, we should be comfortable in both. But the worshiping should be first. As we worship, then we become equipped to serve. And secondly, sitting at Jesus' feet will be noticed by others. It may be favorable, and it may not be favorable. And let's go back and close with John chapter 12 again. First three verses, we see that Mary takes this pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and he bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone." There may be some who don't understand the fact that you choose to sit at Jesus' feet, and they may make that known to you. When they do, let them alone. They won't let you alone, so you let them alone. You just go ahead and let them express themselves, but you just determine you're going to continue sitting at Jesus' feet. Our Lord said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Now, I don't think that Mary necessarily knew what she was doing and the significance of that. And often, our worship, we don't know and understand the significance of what we're doing until later. Because many times when we sit and worship our Lord, that worship that we're moved to give, and that which is important in that period of worship, often later the Lord brings back, and we need to use that which we've gained in our service. Abiding in Christ, we need to take time to worship. Folks, we live in a busy world. You're busy and I'm busy. But we must do the one needful thing. Often Christians don't do it because they don't know how. They find it awkward. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking, I could be doing this. I could be doing that. I could be doing the other. I need to be up doing this. I need to be up doing that. And you're going to have that battle. But one thing is needful, Jesus said. And Mary hath chosen that which cannot be taken away from her. Our worship has to begin with us choosing to do it. Well, how do I do it, preacher? Get alone with the Lord and just sit in his presence. Read some scripture that will point you to him or what he has done. Meditate on that. Meditate on him. Just sit there in quiet and think about Jesus. Who he is, what he has done, what he's doing, the promises that he's made for us and to us, the things that he has said he will do in the future. Find some good, solid Christian music that's biblical that you can use to help you in this matter of worship. Some will say, that sounds like an emotional meeting. It probably will be, and it ought to be. I don't know how any believer can sit in the presence of Jesus and not become emotional. Oh, there may not be tears, and there may not be lifting the hands or running around the room, but your heart will be moved, and you will recognize the value of our Lord and the lack of value that we are, and how blessed we are to be called children of God, and how much we should love Him and worship Him and serve Him because of who He is and what He has done. The word worship in the Old Testament means to bow down, to become prostrate. It's a sign of showing reverence and respect for the one that you bow down in front of. That's what we need to do to Jesus. We just need some time bowing down to Him and letting Him know how much we love Him for who He is. Worship. Try it this week. And if you've been doing it, keep doing it. Become real good at it. It's never, never a waste of time. Thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of our worship. You are worth sitting at your feet to observe you, to think on you, to listen to you, to learn from you. Lord, sometimes worship is a strange word for us. Sometimes we think we've done it, but yet we feel empty and void inside. That closeness and nearness that other people have talked about in their time of worship is just not found inside of us. We don't have a greater admiration for you than we did before we started. We don't have a deeper thanksgiving in our heart and love for what you are. And we wonder if this worship is supposed to be something that lifts my spirit and brings me closer to the Lord, why hasn't it? Help us, Lord, not to be afraid to take this exercise and to spend time with you in worship. It is a very rewarding time for our hearts. It brings great comfort and peace and satisfaction and security and assurance that we're okay because we're your children and you as God are on the throne. So Lord, you teach us how to do it and help us that we'll be busy in doing it. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.